You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
Well, it is Wednesday, May 8th. You know what that means? 180 days exactly to November 5th, the most important election in the history of the world, according to Donald Trump. You know, I'm starting to believe him. I'm starting to believe the world, everything, this country, everything hinges on that day. I can't imagine if Trump loses, Biden wins, and we have four more years of this insanity. But either way, there's going to be just complete chaos in this country. November 6th, if Trump wins, is going to make these college protests look like nothing. It's just going to be wild. They're all going to come together, all going to coalesce, all these crazy lunatics from the pro-Hamas crowd and the climate change crowd and the Black Lives Matter are all going to join together and burn the country down. If Trump wins from November 5th till Inauguration Day, it's going to be one big riot from coast to coast. But that's why the Democrats are going to stop at nothing to defeat Trump. And I think we've reached peak banana republic right now, today, yesterday, I should say. And I think it's time for all decent Democrats, if there are any left. I'm starting to think it's John Fetterman. He's the only decent Democrat. But what we saw yesterday in New York, I'm not sure people appreciated, was absolute insanity. I'm going to try to summarize it, but we all know there is no crime. There's nothing to actually convict Trump on in New York, and they don't care. To recap, we have a prosecutor, a far left Soros-backed prosecutor, who, by the way, didn't take the case initially. Neither did the Federal Election Commission. Neither did the prosecutor before Alvin Bragg. It's a crime that he allegedly committed years ago. And nobody took the case until Bragg a year ago. That's when Biden sent the third in line in his Department of Justice, Matthew Colangelo, to New York to revive the case, to make up the case. And that's what he did. So we have a prosecutor, Soros-backed prosecutor, who hates Trump. We have another prosecutor, Matthew Colangelo, who is a real Democrat activist who's donated to Biden, donated to many Democrat causes, who takes money from the DNC. We have a judge who could be the most, the guy most afflicted with Trump derangement syndrome, who despises Trump. And you know, everybody in his world, in his circle, hates Trump and is rooting him on to go get Trump, to put Trump away, to embarrass Trump. And that's why he's there. They don't really want to convict Trump. They know they don't really have a case. Doesn't matter. They have two goals right now in these 6-8 weeks that they have Trump on trial. One is to keep him off the campaign trail. Two is to humiliate him. And that's what yesterday was. It was an exercise in humiliation. If you weren't paying attention, they brought Stormy Daniels up to the witness stand, and they just said, "Go nuts, Stormy. You hate Trump. You want to embarrass Trump? Let's do it." And everybody who's honest said, "This has nothing to do with the case. This is irrelevant, immaterial. It didn't matter." Now, as you know, I'm a legal expert. I've watched lots of Law and Order. I've read lots of John Grisham books. I've never heard or seen anything like this. Every time I've watched a case that went off the rails, the defense would object, the judge would step in, There would be a mistrial. There would be a dismissal. It didn't happen, and it's not going to happen, because this is what Judge Juan Merchan wants. He doesn't care if it gets overturned on appeal. He knows that that's months away, probably after the election. It doesn't matter. I don't understand how everybody can't agree that this is a farce, that this is absurd. I would challenge any Democrat that I know, anyone, to explain to me what they're trying to convict him of. They don't know. They don't care. It doesn't matter. They want him tied up in court. They want him gagged, fined, perhaps even jailed. Anybody who thinks the goal is not to jail Trump is not paying attention. I've seen lots of legal analysts say he's not going to put him in jail. Yes, he is. He is going to put him in jail because he will stop at nothing to hurt Trump, to stop Trump, to embarrass Trump. What makes you think he won't take the next step? What evidence do you have that Judge Merchan won't go there? That's what I'd like to know. I hear lots of people, even on Newsmax and Fox, say, nah, he's not going to do it. That's a bridge too far. Yes, he is. He is going to put Trump in jail because Trump is not going to stop talking. The idea that he should be gagged while campaigning for president is so insane. And the idea that the witnesses, including Michael Cohen, can say anything they want about Trump. Michael Cohen does a podcast. He does TikTok videos where he makes money just mocking Trump. That's their lead witness, their star witness. Trump can't respond. If he does, he's fined. I don't know what are the fines up to now, 12,000? Trump got fined for saying David Pecker, their witness, the National Enquirer guy, is a good guy, is a nice guy. That's what he said. He got fined $1,000 for that. That's okay. I understand the lunatics on MSNBC. I understand Joy Reid and Jake Tapper and George Stephanopoulos are enjoying this. But no fair, decent person can think this is good. I don't care if you hate Trump. You have to admit, this is so unfair and un-American. Let's just go over what they did yesterday. They brought Stormy up as a witness, and she came, I guess she came in to court and was just having a blast. She wanted to hurt Trump, embarrass Trump, and she did that. She talked about his underwear, his silk, his pajamas, what pajamas he was wearing. She talked about his cologne. She looked in his medicine cabinet. And he was in a hotel, which I find a little weird. Who has a medicine cabinet in a hotel, even if he had medicines out on the sink? So tell me, what does that have to do with falsifying business records? It's just so crazy. Bring in a porn star to make him look like a deviant, like a degenerate who cheats on his wife. Do this so you can hurt him in his race against another guy who showered with his daughter. That's what they're doing here. The guy who showered with his daughter is out on the campaign trail. The guy who had a one-night stand with a porn star 18 years ago has to sit there and listen to this salacious, lurid testimony designed to make him look like a bad guy. It's going to backfire. It already is backfiring. The idea that he, and lots of people think if he puts him in jail, that's it. Trump wins. I don't think Merchan cares. He doesn't look at it that way. He looks at Trump as evil, as Hitler, and he looks for ways every day to hurt him, to embarrass him, to just humiliate him in front of the world. That's what yesterday was about. I've seen lots of trials, read lots of books. I've never seen anything like this. After the testimony, Judge Merchan said, quote, I agree that it would have been better if some of the things had been left unsaid. The judge said some of the things Stormy Daniels said should have been left unsaid. I'm sorry. Doesn't the judge have some control over that? He then admonished the defense, Todd Blanche, the lawyer for Trump, for not objecting enough. He said, I thought you would have objected more. They objected before the testimony because it was irrelevant and it was gratuitous. And then when she testified about his underwear, the judge thought Trump's defense should have objected. They objected. They didn't want it. The only thing the prosecution agreed to, and this is amazing, again, a trial about falsifying business records. The prosecution agreed, because they're so decent here and they're looking just for justice, agreed not to ask questions about Trump's genitalia. That was it for ground rules. No genitalia questions. They bring her up. She's having a blast. She's making jokes. She's looking at the jury. Then the defense starts cross-examining her. And she points out she hates Trump. She wants to see him in jail. She wants to see him lose. Isn't that, aren't we done with her at that point? Isn't that, I don't know, prejudicial? She said, by the way, you like this one, Ironhead. She agreed she made money on her fame, which she got through sleeping with Trump. She then went on a Make America Horny Again tour.
Right.
That's what she did.
She was doing comedy clubs.
I missed that one. I didn't see her on the Make America Horny Again tour. Maybe she didn't come to a strip joint near me, but she didn't. She did what she was there to do. She's not done either. She's going to be back tomorrow. She did what she was there to do. Hurt Trump, humiliate Trump, make him look like a bad husband, a bad father, because they had a one-night stand in Lake Tahoe 18 years ago. After it, Trump took care of it. He paid her, and she signed the non-disclosure, and she wrote a letter saying she never had sex with Trump. Then she takes the stand under oath and said, yeah, we had sex. Isn't that perjury at some point? I believe she swore under oath she didn't sleep with him, and then she said she did. Isn't there a little flaw there? Isn't that a... she was a terrible witness, but it doesn't matter. Again, these legal analysts say she was not a good witness. She did not make the case, prove anything, tie him to the illegal payment, alleged. But it didn't matter. Again, that's not why she's there. She's not there to convict Trump. She's there to muddy him up, to slime him, to make him look bad. And she did that. That was the goal. She'll continue to do that. And Trump will respond probably today. He'll get fined. And the judge, who's already told him that jail is an option, is going to put him in jail. And the Democrats will cheer it. This is, again, peak third world banana republic stuff. Everybody knows. Everybody, everyone on CNN and MSNBC, everybody knows there's nothing legitimate. There's nothing real about this. There's no crime. There's no victim. There's nothing that would warrant a trial 6 months before an election for an offense he committed allegedly 7 years ago. They waited. One person after another declined to bring this charge, declined to bring this case until Biden's guy, Matthew Colangelo, moved to New York and said, let me handle it. And Colangelo doesn't care if it's a real case. He has a job to do. It's keep Trump tied down and humiliate Trump. But that won't stop the let's put Trump in jail crowd. They're going to be so excited when Trump spends a night in whatever, the local jail or in his home with an ankle bracelet. They are going to love that, even if it's hurting their guy. This is how consumed with Trump derangement syndrome they are. Everyone agrees Trump supporters his numbers will go up. He's already leading in the polls and all the swing states. It's going to go, he's going to get more popular if they jail him. I mean, much more popular. It might, I don't know if it's going to win the election for him, but it certainly won't hurt him. I think Trump knows that too. That's why he keeps daring the judge to put him in jail. He'll spend the night in jail. Hey, you get another bounce, 3-4 points in the polls. It would be worth it. So everybody's going to get what they want when Mershon sends him to jail. Everybody is going to celebrate. Trump supporters will be angry, but they'll be emboldened. They'll be fired up. And the Trump haters will be like, good, he's a criminal. He belongs in jail. The case is falling apart completely, by the way. It just fell apart yesterday. If you didn't read about it, follow it. It imploded yesterday in the courtroom in New York. Any decent, fair, professional judge would have declared a mistrial. They moved for a mistrial, and he said no, even though he admitted the testimony should not have been allowed in. Things should have been left unsaid. That's on in any other case, it's over. But not this one. We're going to continue because we got to get to Michael Cohen. We got to get to more Trump haters who want to make Trump, who want to slime and sully Donald Trump. But they're starting to say the quiet part out loud. They're starting to admit that they are aroused at the thought of Trump behind bars. Or dead. Jen Psaki is talking now. She was talking about the vice presidential choice, which I've said is really consequential. It's the most important vice presidential choice I've ever seen, because the choice is the favorite to be president in 2028, to win in 2028 and take office in 2029. Trump can only serve one term. Trump's almost 78. It's an important choice. Hopefully it's, you know, a good one. Hopefully it's J.D. Vance or Byron Donalds, and they will just step into the vice president, and they'll hit the campaign trail while Trump is tied up, and then they'll be learning on the job, and they'll become our 48th president. So it's a big deal. But Jen Psaki thinks it's a big deal because she, her side, her people might succeed in putting Trump in prison, or someone might kill him. Let's listen to, by the way, Jen Psaki, who is, I just learned this. It was amazing. At George Washington University, they're rioting, they're rounding them up. There's a bunch of arrests, just complete bedlam overnight. They haven't canceled the graduation yet. They might. If they don't, you know who their speaker is at the commencement? Jen Psaki. So they have this absolute crazy far left Biden supporter, Trump hater, and she's going to be the speaker, which is great. I love it because they're going to, the rioters will absolutely disrupt the whole thing. Chaos will ensue, and I'll be here for it. But let's listen to Psaki talk about what might happen with Donald Trump in the coming months.
I think many of them want to be close to power. They also assume or have this thought in their mind that maybe Donald Trump will go away. Maybe he'll go to jail. Maybe he will die, not to be too morbid, but maybe, I mean, he's not a young man.
Maybe he will die.
Christ.
Just a guess if, I don't know, Jesse Waters said this or Greg Kelly said this. You think they might said, you know, maybe Biden, look at him, maybe he'll die and we'll be all set. What's a better possibility? Biden or Trump dying before the election? You know, Trump's an old man. He's a little bit overweight, but Biden is sickly. Biden is frail. Biden has dementia. Do we have the Biden video? I was reluctant to play this because I'm not sure I could do it without laughing and losing it. But while Trump's tied up in court, this is what your president is doing. And if you see the video, you know what he's doing. Every parent knows what he's doing in this. He's on the White House lawn with Jill. People are yelling questions at him. He has the, you know, the stiff Biden shuffle, and he stops with his legs spread. Ironhead, you got a youngster at home, a four-year-old. Does that look familiar?
It sure does. It's the unanimous, everyone knows that squat.
That squat, just wait. The president of the United States, the leader of the free world, is, I don't know, how do you say it, relieving himself in the middle of the on the White House grounds.
Yeah, the Secret Service takes out Major and Joe Biden to go to the bathroom at the same time.
somebody has to change the president of the United States. That is why they have to put Trump in jail. that is why they have to use any means necessary to stop Trump. because that's the alternative. They're thinking Trump might die. I'm not sure this guy's going to make it to the convention in August. I've said all along, he can't be the candidate. He won't be the candidate because he's not capable. We talked about it yesterday. They've already admitted he can't campaign. You know, the less is more strategy, shorter speeches, shorter appearances. Every time he speaks, he shows the world that he is incapable of doing the job. He's unfit. And they have no alternative. What could they do? Make Kamala the candidate? They can't do that. She's incapable. She's an embarrassment. So their only way they can assure victory for this corpse is to put Trump in jail or hope he dies. That's what they're doing. They actually asked Eric Adams yesterday, mayor of New York, are you ready to put at Rikers, to put Trump in Rikers? Are you ready? And he said, yes, our Department of Prisons or Corrections can handle anything. They haven't thought this through. Do you know what it entails to imprison a president? The Secret Service would take over the whole place. I mean, they would have to have like an entire wing with nobody in it except Secret Service agents and Donald Trump. And a photo of Trump in an orange jumpsuit, that would be it. Everybody would admit this is crazy, and Trump would coast to victory in November. So he wants it. They want it. It's going to happen. I don't understand these legal analysts say, oh, no, that's too much. Yes. Show me what they've done to make you think they're going to stop. That's what I would say. Show me one moment where Mershon or Bragg or any of them, Jack Smith, are going to say, you know what? This is a little bit too much. We can't do that. They're not going to stop until he's in jail or dead. That's what they're thinking. But the View yesterday, the View, which is just, this is Joe Biden's base. This is really stupid old ladies who hate Trump, don't understand any of the issues. They're not bright enough. They don't read up. They're stupid. They were trying to decide what's the best place to put Donald Trump. And they were giddy. Their audience was giddy. They were literally cheering at the thought of Trump going to prison. And they were trying to figure out what would be the best place. What prison would be best for Donald? Let's go.
I remember how Judge Ito lost complete control of the courtroom. And I think that had a lot to do with the win. You cannot let Donald Trump be a runaway train in that courtroom.
No, no.
It's not his courtroom.
No.
It's the judge's courtroom. Mm. And so I think that's to right. Make a point, to prove a point, put him in the clink.
Oh,
why not? Put him in the clink.
I don't want this to sound like I'm doing wishful thinking.
Yes.
But which prison would be best? I'm gonna give you Michael. Well, that's number one is Rikers. But you know, I'm okay if he goes to Alcatraz and they reopen it.
Maybe.
You know, what about Guantanamo Bay? Okay.
Yeah. Well, that'd be close
real
to Mar-a-Lago.
Serious conversation.
Melania can come and visit.
That's right. What about Supermax would be interesting. El Chapo was in Supermax. He, you know, hey, yeah. Now he wants to be with the hip people. Come on.
Yeah.
These are my suggestions. anybody wants to know.
I would like somebody. I mean, they have that, whatever, Alyssa Farah is supposed to be a Republican. She's not. But someone to say, could you girls, ladies, just take a minute. Explain to me what the crime is, what they're charging him with, what you're hoping to convict him of. There'd be silence, or they would just start screaming, he paid a porn star. I mean, that's what they say, paid a porn star. That's not illegal. Everyone agrees, that's not a charge. He's not charged with paying hush money to Stormy Daniels. It's not a crime. And Clinton did it. Politicians do it all the time. But it doesn't matter. They want it to look bad, and it looks bad, I'll admit. But I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to work. It's going to backfire like everything else they've done. And I can't believe Donald Trump uses Old Spice. That I found that shocking. That's my takeaway from yesterday's testimony. All right, we got lots to get to on this May. What did I just say it was? May 8th, 180 days to the election. And by the way, we got to throw in another impeachable offense. Joe Biden is withholding armaments, withholding weapons from Israel in the middle of a war. That's what they impeached Donald Trump for. Joe Biden does an impeachable offense every day. It's like not even a big deal. Yeah, whatever. He took money from Ukraine. He took money from China. Yeah, whatever. You know, let's charge Henry Cuellar. Let's charge Bob Menendez. Let's not charge Joe Biden. I mean, can't do that. Trump will win. He's withholding bombs from Israel as they're about to finish Hamas in Rafah. And it's like just a footnote. Yeah, Biden's not supporting our ally in Israel. Gave a great speech saying he supports Israel on the same day he stopped sending weapons to Israel. It's just scandalous, but nobody seems to care. We got to get to so much more here. We have a wild interview with a Hamas defector who used to be a Hamas guy. Then he went to work for Israel because he saw what kind of sick, depraved, murderous scum Hamas is. You know, the group that every college in this country is supporting right now. Wild interview with this guy. And the janitor who was held hostage during the Columbia riot in Hamilton Hall speaks out. And boy, does he embarrass Columbia. It's important because he shows just where the priorities lie at Columbia and all Ivy League institutions. And yes, Kristi Noem does it again. I've never seen anything like it. Kristi Noem has destroyed her political career, has humiliated herself, has thought she could go out there and sell a book. Instead, she poured gasoline on herself and lit a match. It's incredible. We'll get to that and more, but first.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Excuse me.
If you're anything like me, you have a certain tendency to put things off until the very last minute. You know, when I get my car inspected, for some reason, I always wait to the last minute, the last day. When I pay Ironhead, I always wait to the last minute. And while most of the time it works out, the one thing in life you really cannot afford to wait on is setting up term coverage life insurance. You've probably seen life insurance commercials on TV and thought, yeah, well, I'll look into that later. No, this isn't something you can wait on. Choose life insurance through Ladder today. Ladder is 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork. When you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, just answer a few questions about your health in an application. Since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to cross it off your list. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're approved instantly. No hidden fees, cancel anytime, get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. So go to ladderlife.com/Jerry today to see if you're instantly approved. That's ladderlife.com/Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, ladderlife.com/Jerry. I think we might have to replace some of our Biden videos with that video on the White House lawn. Although it's a visual, he doesn't say anything. You can't hear anything. Although we could add sound effects if you really wanted to, Ironhead.
But, I could use that one when we're wrapping up.
Use that one. I'll try to keep it together. I struggle with it, getting my mind around it. There are allegedly 70 million people who are planning to vote for that man. An 81-year-old dementia patient who can't control his bowels. That's what we're talking about. It's not the favorite, but they're going to do their best to reinstall him in November. Well, the Israeli-Hamas conflict is heating up. Israel has gone into Rafah. They want to finish off the terrorist organization as they promised they would. That's what they're going to do. They had the support of the president, 6 months ago. Then he stumbled into a little problem with Dearborn, Michigan, with the squad. So he decided to sell out our ally and asked them to stop prosecuting a war. 6 months in, before, as they were about to, you know, finish things, he said, uh-oh, this isn't helping me with my base. I think I will cut the legs out of Netanyahu and the IDF. And Hamas felt emboldened because they could see what kind of support they have in Western Europe and in the United States. And it gets louder and crazier every day. 2 nights ago, they defiled a World War I memorial and burned an American flag in New York City. By the way, Eric Adams says he's offering $5,000 of his own money as a reward to catch the people who vandalized the memorial. There's like 1,000 videos, and some of the scumbags don't have masks on. Why can't you get them in 5 minutes? I mean, why is it such a difficult task to catch these criminals? I don't get it. They should have already rounded them up, but we know they'll spend 5 minutes in jail, no bail, no jail. It won't matter. It's not like they made animal noises like the kid at Ole Miss, whose whole life will be destroyed because he made animal noises during a protest. To review, you're allowed to say, kill the Jews, death to Israel, death to America. Hell, you're allowed to say Heil Hitler, which they allegedly did at the University of Wisconsin. But you can't make animal noises or your life will be over, because that's where we're at. But Piers Morgan had journalist Abby Martin and Hamas defector, a former member of Hamas. His father founded Hamas. He defected. He went to work for Israel, and he just kind of renounced his past and is out there. And I would say hates Hamas as much as anybody in the world.
Mossab Hassan Youssef is his name.
Mossab Hassan Youssef goes on with Piers Morgan. Abby Martin does the usual thing about, you know, civilians and genocide. Israel's committing genocide, which is absurd, as we've mentioned. If they're committing genocide, they're really bad at it, because they could have killed everybody in Gaza in, you know, 3 days, and they haven't. They've dropped leaflets. They've set up corridors for them to escape. They've brought in humanitarian aid. They've given their lives to bring humanitarian aid into Gaza. If that's genocide, I don't know. I guess I don't know what genocide is, but it doesn't matter. If you're a good leftist, you're supposed to hate Israel, hate the Jews, and pretend that Israel is committing genocide. Well, this guy, Mossab Hassan Youssef, is having none of it. Let's listen as he puts her in her place.
You know, Mossab is the Palestinian who hates Palestinians. He's developed a lucrative career being able to lie about basic facts about this conflict. And so when he says Palestinians or Hamas, what he really means is all Arabs and all Muslims, in fact.
There, you think all Muslims are terrorists. What's your response to what Abby Martin said?
Well, you know, this is Abby's desperate attempt to discredit me. I am a man of the field. I fought against Hamas as part of intelligence, legitimate intelligence organization, against savage group that were targeting civilians in suicide bombing attacks, waves of suicide bombing attacks that they killed people indiscriminately. So Abby today want me for some reason to apologize for saving human life, because my truth challenges her convenient truth. Abby does not have the authority. She's just a self-appointed low-grade journalist. How can you be a journalist and you call this a genocide, ethnic cleansing? And she just keep repeating ethnic cleansing, genocide, colonialism, etc. None of it is real, including Palestine. It's only in your head. None of it is existential. Palestine was never born. How can you free it? It was never there. It's just a colonial entity, and some people choose to make it into a national identity. And this parrot has been just repeating Hamas propaganda. Marwan Barghouti that she's talking about him, she never met him. I knew Marwan before he got to power. He's a criminal. He killed 5 people. He has blood on his hands. He cheated on his wife. He has a secret son that he never revealed it to the public. Of course, I can criticize him, and I can criticize all the criminals that I know personally. She's been there only for a visit, and maybe she had some falafel sandwich, you know, and she really was blown away of the Palestinian experience. There is no such a thing as Palestine. It's about time to retire. Find a different job. You're
she might have had a falafel sandwich. I love that. This is my candidate to be the new president of Columbia. What do you think? Or Harvard.
It's a great choice.
Why isn't he everywhere? I mean, give Piers Morgan credit for finding him, interviewing him, but why isn't he on every cable network and every Sunday morning news show? He's been there. He's been part of Hamas. I don't care if you agree with him. He's got some real experience to share. I love that. Talking about the leader of Hamas cheated on his wife. Oh, no. He's a guy who's killed children, blown up buses, as he said, but he throws in, he cheated on his wife. Yeah, but did he ever crap his pants on camera? That's my question.
I don't think so.
I love that guy. Mossab. See if you can get him on. See if you can find see if you can find Mossab Hassan Youssef. And maybe we'll get Abby Martin too. She's an independent journalist from California. And she, I love that. You're just a parrot. That's what you are. That's what all these people are, just parrots. She's like every college student protesting right now. And we've seen many videos. They have no idea what they're talking about. They don't even know what genocide means. No. They don't understand what's going on. They don't care. Half of them don't even know what happened on October 7th. These are really stupid people. It's a real indictment on our university system. These are kids whose brains have broken, whose minds have been poisoned since they were kids. And they're just acting out this fantasy of fighting the oppressor because that's what they're supposed to do. Where we stand with Palestine. They don't even know. That's not a real place. They stand with terrorists who slaughtered babies, who murdered women and raped their corpses. That's who they stand with. They're going nuts at UMass Amherst now, too. And I'm really surprised it took UMass this long to join the party. But they're assaulting cops for Palestine at UMass. And it's going to get crazier. As I've said, the weather's getting better. There's a lot of people who feel like they have to belong. They want to join the party. They want to assault a cop or deface a monument. It's going to keep coming, and there's nothing Joe Biden can do about it. It's going to get even wilder. But I think this is really insightful and instructive. We talked a lot about Columbia last week. The scumbags who took over Hamilton Hall, who broke in, broke windows, destroyed the place. You know, committed real crimes, burglary, breaking and entering, and kidnapping. They held janitors against their will. Janitors, you know, because these people are standing up for the oppressed, the marginalized people in our society. And there's one great photo of this janitor fighting with this agitator. And then we learned the whole story from the janitor who did a long interview with the Free Press. The kid he was fighting, the kid, he's 40 years old. He's a trust fund baby who's worth millions, who lives in a $3.4 million, four-story Brooklyn townhouse. That's the kid who's fighting, the kid, again, he's a man, who's fighting the janitor in Hamilton Hall, fighting the janitor who makes $19 an hour. That's what Columbia pays their janitors. Well, the janitor spoke out. Risked everything, risked his job, his life, because he's speaking out against the scumbags, the violent vermin that attacked him. I'm not sure why they're not charged with that, but, you know, it's New York. No one's charged with anything except Donald Trump. But he speaks out. This guy should be everywhere. He should go on a media tour, because this is the embodiment of the incoherence of this movement. Let's abuse a janitor who makes $19 an hour for Palestine. He was great. I'm going to do the math on just how much Colombia cares about working people. But let's listen to, let me get his name again. I keep forgetting his name.
Mario Torres.
Mario Torres, father of two, hardworking man, janitor. He was the guy who was supposed to clean up the mess that trust fund pukes made in Hamilton Hall the other night. Go ahead.
First, they pulled the alarm because the alarm was ringing. And then they put tables and chairs to block it. Like, they stuffed that elevator with furniture. So it was done. So I couldn't go down. I basically managed to, you know, someone was able to calm me down and say, look, you know, I'm going to let you out. We're going to let you out. Just calm down. I was freaking out. You know, at that point, I'm thinking about my family.
Why did you freak out?
Why did I freak out? How was I going to get out? Through the window? No. And look, and I'm glad I did, because, you know, I know the cops went in there, you know, and there was a story about a cop, you know, discharging his firearm. You know, let's say they stormed in early. They wouldn't know who we are. It's just scary just thinking that you're locked in with a bunch of crazies, you know, what I want to get out. That's the only thing you're thinking of is getting out.
He's, by the way, is worried that they're going to come get him. He's like, I'm putting myself out there. And, you know, I'm the guy he's fighting with. His name's James Carlson. And he's the trust fund punk who's a professional agitator. He's a Occupy Wall Street, climate change, you name it. That's what he does. He inherited millions. I think it was 20 million. And he's a, quote, longtime anarchist, according to a police source. This is in the New York Times. He has a 3,000 square foot townhouse with four wood burning stoves and a carriage house in Brooklyn. That's who's leading the mob, leading these mush minded students as they destroy property on college campuses. But Columbia has, let me give you the numbers. I don't know. I find this fascinating, but because there's such hypocrites everywhere, Harvard, MIT, the protesters are little punk, rich, entitled, spoiled, narcissistic punks. And the people who have to clean up after them are real working people. That's the Democrats, the squad, AOC, Ayanna Pressley don't give a damn about Mario Torres. They care about James Carlson, the 40-year-old trust funder who's breaking windows and kidnapping janitors. They have 36,649 students at Columbia. Half of them are foreigners, which means they pay full freight. That's why they're there, one of the reasons they're there. It costs, on average, $86,000 a year to go to Columbia. They have a $13.8 billion endowment, and they pay their janitors $19 an hour. How much do you think those professors who are literally out there protesting with them, who are teaching these young punks that America's bad, that Jews are bad. How much do they make? 150, 200, 250 a year?
At least.
This guy makes $19 an hour to clean puke out of the, you know, bathrooms in the dorms. I hope Mario Torres is just getting started. I hope he goes on a media tour, because, man, He can show you a lot. He has that is real. That is really revealing how they treat him versus how they treat these punks like Kamani James, the 20-year-old non-binary student leader from Boston who said he wants to kill all Zionists. Again, he's going to be okay. He didn't make animal noises. He just said, kill the Jews. So he's cool. But all right, we got to get to Kristi Noem. I'm telling you, I don't know when it's going to end for Kristi Noem, but but her career is over. We just shortened the VP list by one, because I know she's hot. I know that matters a lot to Donald Trump, but what a disaster. We'll get to that, but first.
Excuse me.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, use code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. It makes a great gift. Get it now to support this show and strike back against cancel culture. As you know, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping us out, but you're joining the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow, as you know, not available in big box stores, but you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. MyPillow.com, code word Jerry, 800-893-7406, promo code Jerry. We've gone over this. Christy Noem, in her book, bragged about killing her dog. She also bragged about killing a goat because it was smelly. Didn't like the smell, so she killed the goat. She entitled the chapter, Bad Day to Be a Goat. That was bad. But as we were talking about before the show, Ironhead, in South Dakota, maybe in Wyoming, North Dakota, they probably understand. They probably had to put down animals. They probably have a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Most of the country thinks she's a psychopath for shooting her dog because it killed a chicken. A 14-month-old dog, by the way, a purebred, killed it and thought telling that story would impress people, thought it meant showed that she would make tough decisions. Well, that thing blew up and it backfired, but that was nothing compared to her claim that she met Kim Jong-un and stared him down. She not only included it in her book, but she can't blame her staff or her ghostwriter because she read the audio version. She was the narrator of the audio version. So she read that claim into the book, into the recorder. So she can't pass off, you know, blame anyone else. So she has a book out. I think it comes out today or yesterday, which is, you know, put it in the friggin' humor section, put it in the comic book section. The whole thing is a joke. Anyway, she lied. The idea that she would put that in there and nobody would check, this isn't saying, you know, you met the queen. This is saying you met the most notorious tyrant in the world who doesn't meet. I mean, it was a big deal when he met Trump. He doesn't meet governors of South Dakota. Nobody believes she met him. So, and it was easy to check. Of course she didn't meet him. And she won't even answer the question. Everyone keeps asking her, did you meet him? She'll say, I met lots of world leaders. I'm not going to talk about it. What? You put in your book. You bragged about it. You made it up. This is Biden level insanity. So she goes and starts doing interviews. She was on, you know, making the rounds, and every interview is more humiliating than the last. The idea that you could go on a book tour when you told this kind of lie in the book and not talk about it, who's advising this woman? How did she think it was going to go? Well, it hasn't gone well, to the point where she's ending interviews in the middle of them and turning down, canceling other appearances to promote her own book. I don't think I've seen anything like this. Lots of politicians write books. Nobody reads them, not even them in some cases. I've never seen someone go on tour, subject herself to this, and somehow think it was going to help. I mean, maybe people will pick up the book out of curiosity now, but everyone who does is going to read about this crazy woman and think less of her. How did she think this was? I can't get this past this. I thought she was a pretty bright woman. She was, Trump loves her. I'm not sure why. She's not going to be VP. Maybe she's never going to be, you know, anything. Maybe this is the end for her. But let's watch her with Stuart Varney, who's a tough interviewer. She thought she could sit down with Stuart Varney and, I don't know, brag about the economy of South Dakota. By the way, the commercials she puts out about South Dakota, where she pretends to be a dentist or a plumber, they're almost as embarrassing as these interviews. She is nuts. And we're learning a lot about this person. She's not stable. Let's watch.
still think that you are in line to be Trump's vice president?
No, it's up to Donald Trump. He's the only person who will decide this. And I spoke. Yes, I do speak to him.
May I ask what he said to you about being vice president?
No, I never tell anybody my personal conversations.
Did the dog story
president
come up
Trump.
In a conversation with
I talk
Trump?
To President Trump all the time.
About the dog?
About a lot of things. And right now, I tell you what, he is being persecuted in a political hunt. Witch hunt in this court case. So I'm proud of him about how tough he is and how well he is doing.
Did you bring up
yes,
the dog?
Yes, enough, Stuart.
With Trump. Did you
this
bring
interview
up the dog
is
with
ridiculous,
Trump?
What you were doing right now. So you need to stop. It is.
Okay.
It is.
We'll
Let's
stop.
Talk about some real topics that Americans care about.
I'm afraid we're out of time.
Oh, well, of course we
but
are.
We do thank you for being with us. Right. I know I pressed hard, but that's what people are talking about to this day.
Yeah.
Governor Noah, thanks for joining us.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it. We'll be back in just a moment with you.
She thinks she can sit for an interview and not answer the dog question.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un question. I mean, she's either really dumb or really naive or really gullible or all of the above.
Yeah.
Just that she canceled on Greg Gutfeld like in the morning and Gutfeld just shredded her. That's her life now. She's a clown, a laughingstock. And somehow she thinks she can make it all better. She's as bad as Kamala Harris. She really is. Because the next VP, on the day he announces it, is going to be a huge upgrade at vice president. Everybody, I mean, Trump could name Stormy Daniels his VP, and it's an upgrade over Kamala Harris. She's that bad. This person wouldn't be. The media would destroy her. And in a debate, every question... I mean, I'm sure it'd be rigged like most of these debates. Every question would be about the dog or the goat or the Kim Jong-un. I mean, he can't pick her. He won't pick her. I mean, Trump makes some bad personnel choices, but this can't be one of them. I mean, hell, he hired Michael Cohen. That's all you need to know. He slept with Stormy Daniels. He makes, but this is one he cannot make. But anyway. We can wrap this up. Do we have time? I want to play this one clip. I know we got lots of good stuff we didn't get to. But I tweeted about this, got a big reaction. There's a big renovation going on at JFK Airport. You have this clip from the local. This is incredible. Kathy Hochul, who's another moron, by the way, announced a big renovation for JFK Airport. And she said that $2.3 billion is set aside for construction companies that are either minority-owned or women-owned. So no white men need apply, just minorities. And in this day, in 2024, this is a wonderful thing. Yeah, no white people. We're just going to have black people and women working on this part of the renovation. This is... racist, wouldn't you say? This is, I guess, in the name of diversity, equity, inclusion. We're going to renovate an airport. Again, this isn't some, you know, building a whatever strip mall. This is an airport. And we're not going to pick the companies based on merit. We're going to pick them based on immutable characteristics in the name of equity. I can't think of a thing that could go wrong here, but let's listen to the local rep. Celebrate the announcement that they're going to base this on race and on gender. Go ahead.
What we didn't want to happen is to go back to the community. And Jim, you know this, and people look at us and say, well, what did you do? No one on that project looks like us. No one in that project represents us. We did not want to have those conversations. And that's why those tireless meetings that took place on Zoom, it was Microsoft, WebEx, or whatever it was, and it wasn't working, and your bandwidth, and you had to turn off the camera or turn off the mic. As annoying as it was, we knew it was for us, by us, to make sure that this community that we represent looks like us. So I just want to say.
So the people who will renovate an airport have to look like her. God, I hope they're smarter and more capable than she is. That is just so backwards. In this day and age, that they're going to choose people that look like us. I mean, What the hell? What is going on in this country? That is scary. But that will do it for you. You're not going to change the Biden video to wrap up the show. Oh, man, there's a meme going out there. I don't want you to play it. A meme going out there that kind of shows what Biden's really doing in that moment. But you don't want to see it. Don't do it. We're not going to do it. Not today. We'll do it. We'll leave it. We'll do it another day.
It's a Friday. That's a Friday video.
Yeah, that's a Friday. We'll save that for for Rumble on Friday. But that'll do it for today. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show. And we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.